There's a song I want to tell you about this morning. I'm not going to sing it for you. It would disappoint my dad to tell you it's a country song. It's written by Mickey Cates. It's performed by Kenny Chesney and Randy Travis. Ricky also told me that Cornerstone of Faulkner University has also sung this song. It's entitled Baptism. Now, let me hasten to say, I believe a lot of Kenny Chesney's songs need to be baptized. They need to be immersed. They need to be cleansed of sin. But this song, and the lyrics of this song, in my estimation, are a great treatment of what baptism is all about. And so, my lesson is built around these lyrics, but only as they teach what the Word of God teaches. Here's the first verse. The summer breeze made ripples on the pond, rattled through the reeds and the willow trees beyond. Daddy in his good hat, Mama in her Sunday dress, watched with pride as I stood there in the water up to my chest. And the preacher spoke about the cleansing blood. I sank my toes into that East Tennessee mud. And the refrain goes like this. And it was down with the old man, up with the new, raised to walk in the way of light and truth. Didn't see no angels, and I realize that's improper grammar, just a few saints on the shore, but I felt like a newborn baby, cradled up in the arms of the Lord. As you can see, these words are written by one who was reflecting on his baptism in an East Tennessee pond, recalling with longing for that day and appreciation for it when he was baptized into Christ. If you've been baptized into Christ, I believe it is a good thing to reflect upon your baptism, what it meant to you then and what it should mean to you now. Prentice Metter is a gospel preacher, and he reflected upon his baptism. Notice what he wrote. Even though I didn't thoroughly understand all the things that happened at my baptism on that Thursday night, I knew that it was a pivotal point in my life, a defining moment. It became my true birthday, a time to celebrate, a moment to remember, the beginning of a journey, a signal that something was happening in my life, new and different. My prayers became a little more personal. The Bible was not just a rule book, but a roadmap. Church was not just something you go to, but a group to which I belonged. I want to highlight his words. It was a defining moment for him. And when we understand what the Bible teaches about baptism, we'll see it is a defining moment in our lives, spiritually speaking. So if you've been baptized into Christ according to what the Scriptures teach, it's good to reflect upon that baptism. If you've not been baptized into Christ, I believe that once you understand its significance, you'll want to be baptized into Christ. What does it mean? Why should I be baptized into Christ? What should it mean to me for the rest of my life? Well, let's explore the lyrics of this song, Baptism, in light of God's Word and reflect upon it. First of all, baptism means a new beginning, a new beginning. And the preacher spoke about the cleansing blood. And I'm glad Mickey Cates wrote these lyrics that the preacher spoke about the cleansing blood before he talked about his baptism. Because that's the correct order. Because we even often sing, what can wash away my sin? And the answer is nothing but the blood of Jesus. And it is the blood of Jesus that is the only thing that can wash away our sins. Revelation 1:5, this exhortation is given concerning Christ, that he is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. Ephesians 1 verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's appropriate, it's essential that we understand that it's the blood of Jesus that is the cleansing agent to wash away our sins. If he had not died for us on the cross, we could be buried in water until we couldn't breathe anymore and still be in our sins. Only the blood of Jesus washes our sins away. But we need to understand from the scriptures that Christ washes away the sins of the penitent believer when he or she is baptized into Christ. Acts 2:38. Peter said to these Jews who cried out when they were told that this Jesus whom they had crucified, God had made both Lord and Christ, what shall we do then? And they realized they had the blood of Jesus on their hands. They crucified the Son of God, the promised Messiah. Is there any hope? Is the way I read their question. And Peter and the apostles responded, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yes, there is hope for you, he was saying. If you turn from sin, you already believe that Jesus is a Son of God. You feel the remorse and the guilt of crucifying him. Based upon that faith, turn from your sins in repentance and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You see, it's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. Yes, when, as a penitent believer, we're baptized, immersed into Christ. That's why Saul, before he became Paul, was told by Ananias. And Saul was penitent. He realized that when he'd been persecuting Christians, that he thought it was the will of God, but he was corrected by Christ himself. And so he is convicted of his own sins. He was penitent. He even fasted and prayed for 3 days. But he still had his sins. And Ananias told him, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It's in baptism that the blood of Jesus washes away our sins. See, what makes baptism effective is the blood that Jesus shed on our behalf. It's the blood of Jesus that's operative in our baptism as a penitent believer. It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses our souls of our sins and our guilt when we're baptized according to how the scriptures teach. The objection is made at times, but baptism is a work, and we're not saved by works. And the answer we need to understand is, yes, baptism is a work. But folks, it's not our work, it's God's work. It's God that's operative when we're baptized into Christ. Faith is my work. Coming to God is my work, so to speak. But the real accomplishment is not my performance, but His, what He does. Listen carefully to Colossians 2, verses 12 and 13. Paul writes to Christians, you were buried with Him, with Christ, in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Who's operative here? It's God who's working. It is God who is making us alive. But He does that when we're buried with Christ in baptism and raised through faith in the working of God to walk in newness of life. It is a work, but it's God's work. Every mention of my part in baptism is passive. Baptism is something that is done to me. It's not something I do. And God is clearly the major player, the surgeon performing spiritual surgery, cutting off the body of the sins of the flesh and bringing life and forgiveness. That life and forgiveness provides a new beginning. What does baptism mean? It's a new beginning. It's new life. As the lyrics of that song go, and it was down with the old man, up with the new, raised to walk in the way of light and truth. You see, our baptism by immersion marks our death to sinful living, our death to sin, and our new lives in Christ. Listen to Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. Paul again writing to Christians. Do you not know as many of you as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We were buried. There's a death there. It's our death to sin. Our death to the practice of sin by repentance. Our death to the bondage of sin by being immersed into Christ. And it is a burial. And that teaches us, among other reasons, that baptism is an immersion, a complete covering. It's a complete covering by very definition of the word. It's a transliterated word from baptizo to baptize. They just substituted the Greek letters for the letters that we use. But when you translate it, it means to dip, plunge, to submerge. We're buried with him, completely covered in the waters of baptism. And we're raised to walk in newness of life. See, one's baptism in Christ is the beginning of a new journey. I like what Prentice Meta wrote, baptism is the beginning of the journey, not the destination. Let's be clear about that. Once we're baptized into Christ, that doesn't mean I'm done. It's a new beginning. You're raised to walk in newness of life, and it's a glorious beginning. It's an essential beginning, but it's only a beginning. But it puts us into Christ. It causes us to become a child of God, a member of his family, to begin this journey of walking with him. If you haven't realized this by now, we don't know what our journey is going to hold for us. There are going to be mountaintop experiences. There are going to be valleys that we go through. But as we begin this journey with our baptism into Christ, we put on a new name. We wear the name Christian. And that gives us not only, it helps us to reflect upon what Christ has done for us in giving us a new beginning, but it also teaches us how we're to live going forward. We're to seek to live out that name, the name of Christ, as a Christ follower, by bringing honor and glory to that name. Indeed, we're raised to walk in the way of light and truth. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. John is teaching us that as Christians, as we continue as a way of life to walk in the light of his word, then the blood of Jesus that cleansed us from our past sins and baptism will continue to cleanse us of all sin. But God wants you and me to never forget our baptism, because that's where the journey began. Baptism means a new life. Baptism means a new birth. Notice these lyrics again. I didn't see any angels, just a few saints on the shore. But I felt like a newborn baby cradled up in the arms of the Lord. It brought to my mind, you know, I don't say anymore, I slept like a baby last night. There's not many babies that sleep all night long. You usually wake up crying for one reason or another. But you understand what he means here. I felt like a newborn baby. New life, new birth, cleansed, innocent. Cradled up in the arms of the Lord. Jesus says, most assuredly I say to you, speaking to Nicodemus, unless one is born again, he cannot enter or cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus couldn't understand this. What do you mean, born again? Can I enter again into my mother's womb? Jesus went on to say, most surely I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus was not talking about a physical rebirth, but a spiritual rebirth that occurs when we're baptized, when we're born of water and of the Spirit. When we repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, as Acts 2:38 teaches us, for the forgiveness of our sins, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I understand that to mean that the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. Our spirits are regenerated by the Spirit of God. And it's a new birth. a new birth, a new start, and we're born into a new family. And as I envision the writer of these lyrics didn't see no angels but a few saints on the shore. He's speaking of Christians. But when he would rise from the waters of the baptism, he would see those saints, not only as folks that were rejoicing with him in his baptism, but now they're my brothers and my sisters in Christ. That's God's design, that when we're born, when a child is born into a family. And it's equally true when we're born again. We're born into a family, God's family. Acts 2:41, those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2:47 says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And when they repented of their sins, were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, God added them to the church, to his family. When we're baptized into Christ in that way, we have lots of brothers and sisters because we've been born into God's great family. John Wilson reminds us that our baptism places us in God's family and that we have now a relationship with other Christians. Listen to what he writes. It is good that most baptisms take place at public meetings of the congregation or at least in the presence of many friends. The presence of these other people should help remind a new Christian that becoming one with Christ involves becoming one with all those who are themselves already one with Christ. You are the body of Christ, Paul reminds us, and each one of you is a part of it. An isolated Christian can no more continue to thrive and grow than an isolated eye, ear, heart, or liver. When we're born again in baptism, we're born into a new family, God's family. And there's responsibilities, and there's privileges with being a part of his family. But that's a glorious thing. Just as when we're baptized into Christ, it means we have a new Lord. I felt like a newborn baby cradled up in the arms of the Lord. And the Lord has significance for us as we go forward. The Lord means master, means ruler of our lives. And when we're baptized into Christ, we're pronouncing Jesus is the Lord of our lives. He's the master, he's the ruler. Brennus Meder wrote, when in my baptism I surrendered to a new authority, I pledged a new loyalty, I learned a new freedom. A freedom that comes by placing my life under his control. Some of us, all the young people know this song, and some others of us do. We sing, I am mine no more. I'm mine no more. I've been bought with blood. I am mine no more. We have a new Lord. He's the master. He's the ruler. I no longer live as I please, but I daily try to let Christ rule my life. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? If he's our Lord, we're going to be obedient to him. You see, our baptism ends the reign of our old sinful self, and it begins our new lives under the reign of Jesus as our Lord. And since our baptism closed out the reign of our old sinful selves and brought us under the lordship of Jesus, it defines our future existence. It defines our identity. It answers the major question, who am I? And the answer is, I'm a servant of Christ. I'm a follower of Jesus. You see, God wants me to continue to look back into the waters of baptism to remember who I am and whose I am. Paul wrote to Christians, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. You were bought at a price. And baptism, if you will, seals the deal. because baptism means we have a new Lord. I'm not going to have time to comment a lot on the second verse of this song, but I wanted to share it with you. Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound. There was glory in the air, there was dinner on the ground. And my sins, which were many, were washed away and gone, along with the buffalo nickel I forgot to leave at home. I guess he had it in his pocket. But listen to this follow-up. But that seemed like a small, small price to pay for the blessed peace of mind that came to me that day. Because it was down with the old man, up with the new. Raised to walk in the way of light and truth. I didn't see no angels, just a few saints on the shore. But I felt like a newborn baby, cradled up in the arms of the Lord. Baptism was not designed to achieve personal merit before God. Only Jesus earned anything before God. He alone achieved merit on the cross. This is why baptism must be Jesus-driven. Prentice Meador wrote, through baptism, my life intersected with his. It was when I finally was with him, crucified with him, buried with him in his death, and with him in his resurrection. Again, it's all because of Jesus, and it's by the blood of Jesus that our sins are washed away when we're baptized into Christ. Royce Money wrote, it is precisely in the act of obedient baptism that I meet Christ in my life. My life intersects with his, and I'm changed forever. It's the most intimate form of identification, this being with Christ. It's a defining moment. It means that when I turn from my sin and I confess my faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he shed his blood for my sins, that I'm baptized into Christ, immersed in water, so that those sins can be washed away by his blood. It's a defining moment. All my past sins are washed away. And now I'm added to his family. I've become a member of the body of Christ. And I look forward with Jesus as my Lord, living a new life. With his help. With his strength. Perhaps today will be your defining moment. You'll find your identity in Jesus. You need to be baptized into Christ this morning. It's our hope and prayer that you'll do so. I didn't include the lyrics of the song, but in the same song, the writer, looking back at his baptism, talks about how life goes on and how he was longing to be washed again. But the good news for the child of God is, for the Christian, you don't have to be baptized again and again. The provision is that once you've been baptized according to the Scriptures into Christ, your sins are washed away. You are identified with Christ as a child of God. The provision then is that we repent of our sins, that we confess those sins, and that we ask God to forgive us. If we're faithful to confess our sins, he's faithful to forgive us. 1 John 1. In verse 9. And perhaps some of us need to be cleansed again through our penitence and through asking for prayers of the church on our behalf. If that be the case, we invite you to come right now as we stand and sing.